You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Michael Kist.
You caught me not listening again.
Benjamin Solak.
You never listen.
It's the Kist and Solak Show, presented by SB Nation and Bleeding Green Nation. You are flying high on the Kist and Solak Show, episode 128. Brought to you by the fine folk at SB Nation, Bleeding Green Nation, Michael Kist, at Michael Kist NFL on Twitter. That's K-I-S-T, here with the best doggone co-host in the game, Mr. 9-Year Streak Without a Bad Day, Benjamin Solak. Follow him on Twitter, at Benjamin Solak. That's S-O-L-A-K. Ben, let's pretend like we didn't just talk or haven't been talking this entire time while recording 127 as we transition right into 128 here. How are you doing? Has anything happened since you have not left my computer screen?
Everything is delicious. Shockingly, I have remained consistent. Though, like, as we broke at the end of last podcast, the main thing that's changed is we're now confirmed that Sam Darnold is out. So we're definitely getting Luke Falk, which, like, you know, if we had known, maybe we would have done the Jets defense first. So we would not have spent time talking about Sam Darnold on the last podcast. But that's just how these things go. We also did learn that Sidney Jones is expected to play and Jason Peters is expected to play and DeSean Jackson is not expected to play because Peterson's also giving his, whatever it's called, his presser. And we also saw Adam Gase up at the podium say Sam Darnold won't play, looking like big sad boy. Big sad boy Adam Gase up at the podium. Not happy camper, understandably so.
Let's talk about the injury report for both of these teams. And look, we are recording on a Friday morning, so when this comes out, it's going to be a little bit late, but we're dealing with the Thursday injury report. Did not participate for the Eagles. Cornerback Ronald Darby with a hamstring. Wide receiver DeSean Jackson with an abdomen. Defensive tackle Timmy Jernigan with a foot. And then cornerback Avante Maddox, of course, with a concussion and the neck sprain as well. Limited participation. Derek Barnett's dealing with a groin issue. He seems to be banged up a lot, man. It's a big season for him. Cornerback Sidney Jones, speaking of banged up a lot, he's dealing with a hamstring, which tends to pop every time he runs in a straight line, which is a problem for cornerbacks. Offensive tackle Jason Peters is dealing with a knee. You're going to have to take him out on his shield. So I think he's always going to be banged up throughout the year, but it's not really going to matter as long as it's not too hot and he doesn't need to take the rest of the game off like what happened in week one. But that's happened, a couple weeks now. Anyway, full participation. Jason Kelce, not injury related. Brother, have you seen little Wyatt Elizabeth, the new daughter?
Oh, Kelce Nugget. Yeah, it was so exciting. Congratulations to the Kelce family. It's so much fun. Imagine if your dad was Jason Kelce.
You oh my God.
Have to be cool. It's not allowed cool to be otherwise.
I want him to be my dad now. I can't imagine how much fun that's going to be for like a little teeny tiny baby growing up. That's got to be a fascinating experience. Brother Kelce's going to retire in the offseason.
Yeah. Because
he's honestly like not even trying to like throw shade on him. Like I can only imagine, like I was telling you before this other show, like I dote all over my little teeny tiny baby kids like a sucker. You're going to do the same thing. You're going to be not even
remotely near emotionally prepared to deal with that. I think about having children, I start crying.
And I think of like the type of person that I think I know Jason Kelce to be. And he's just going to be all over this teeny tiny baby with a daughter too. Like I got all boys and I still dote all over them. If I had a girl, I'd be in serious trouble. I think Jason Kelce is going to be all over that teeny tiny baby girl, man.
I need to have a girl because gene wise, I'm not producing a male professional athlete. It's not happening.
You're producing a chess player? Is that?
Hopefully. We'll see. That would be good. I would root and go out. I would cheer. You know, he would like, you know, knight to e4. And I'd be like, you're up. But like, you know, that's not important. But no, gene-wise, I don't like, it's very unlikely.
How tall is your fiance?
Not tall. We don't have a lot of genes anywhere. But what I'm saying is that the athletic delta in men's professional sports is larger than it is in women's professional sports. This is known. And so we have a better chance of producing a female caliber professional athlete than we do a male caliber professional athlete. And so I'm really banking on that. I'm banking on, you know, starting pitcher for the USSSA Pride. I'm banking on, you know, point guard for the Chicago Sky. That's what I'm looking for here. This is what I got to hit. But either way, Kelsey had a kid. Very exciting stuff. Did you know did you see who was starting center in his place?
No.
Big V.
What?
It's a dark timeline, brother.
So no, wow. So no Wisniewski, because he's gone and he didn't do well with snapping the ball in training camp. Isaac Seumalo would be the other backup.
Right. They probably like think they already know that they've got Seumalo at center for a game situation. And so they just wanted to try out, like, you know, Seumalo goes down and then Kelsey goes down the next play. What do we do?
Right.
Sort of a thing. But man, when I saw Jason Kelsey out from practice for, you know, like personal reasons, and most of the beats knew that like his wife was like past due. And so no one was like, what's going on? Like Stephon Diggs, different conversation. But the surprising thing for me was that Big V was taking snaps at center. Can you imagine going from Jason Kelsey's athleticism to Halepulivati Vaitai's athleticism at center? The drop off is massive. You can't run 2/3 of your running game because you can't expect Vaitai to make the blocks that Kelsey makes. But anyway, so that was the only part of that exchange over the week of Kelsey being gone that mattered to me at all. Besides, kid being born, that was also good.
Let's go to the Jets injury report here. And again, dealing with the Thursday report, it's been announced that Sam Darnold is not playing as we expected and talked about this entire time. Did not participate. Jordan Jenkins, linebacker with a calf, that's going to take a bite out of the pass rush that doesn't exist. Linebacker, off-ball linebacker this time, CJ Mosley with a groin, who I was telling you, I really think this defense would look a lot different with CJ Mosley out there on the field. Like, they went from a very good defense to somewhat average in that week one game when Mosley went out. So he's dealing with a groin. It's not going to be good for them if he doesn't play. It doesn't sound like he's going to. And I think he actually is a difference maker when healthy. And I mean, if he's out there, he's not going to be healthy. He's not going to be at full speed. So that's a continual hit for them. Did not participate. Offensive guard Kelechi Osemele dealing with a shoulder and a knee. We talked about them in the Jets offense versus Eagles defense preview on KNS 127. Limited participation. Linebacker Terrell Basham, really an edge player with dehydration. So I guess not too much of an issue there. But I like Basham. I think he's going to be a decent rotational, situational pass rusher type of guy out of Ohio, right?
Yeah, I didn't really know why the Colts cut him. But I guess the Colts have like a bunch of rotational guys and you can only carry so many of them. But anyway, I think Basham will stick for the Jets. Obviously, we expect him to play in this upcoming game, but the Jets have like nobody coming off the edge at all.
And we'll talk about that. Also, a little bit of participation. Wide receiver Josh Bellamy had no idea he was on the Jets. He's dealing with a shoulder. Tight end Dan Brown, don't know who he is. He's dealing with an ankle. Running back Trenton Cannon. Who are these people?
Disparage Trenton Cannon. You should know where he's from.
Where is he from?
Virginia State.
How the hell should I know that?
There's a Virginia State? Wow, surprising. He's Virginia State, which I believe is a Division II school. He was a sixth round pick. He is a quick little dude, special teams player, returner. Yep. I've always had a soft spot in my heart for him. He's a, you know,
Boston Scott.
Yeah, he's 5'10". You know what I mean? He's a short, dense young man.
That's exciting. So Virginia State running back legend Trenton Cannon dealing with a hamstring.
I think
ankle.
He has a record at Virginia State. I'm not positive, but anyway.
I mean, I would hope so. Virginia State player gets to the NFL. I would think that he has some sort of.
He does wear I know he wore 40 last year, and I'm pretty sure he's wearing 25 this year, so that's better. But when he was in 40, we had a problem.
Defensive lineman Quinnen Williams is dealing with an ankle, the first round selection for the Jets. That could be a hit for him. Wide receiver Demaryius Thomas is dealing with a hamstring. Full participation, cornerback Brian Poole dealing with a groin. He's been solid this year. Cornerback Darrell Roberts dealing with an ankle. Then offensive guard Brian Winters, who has not been good. He is dealing with the shoulder as well. Anything from that stand out?
When did Demaryius Thomas got on this football team?
Brother, they have so many people that I'm just like, well, okay, I guess they're on the Jets now. And nobody cares.
Thomas
because
was on the Patriots to start the season. I know this.
Right.
This has to be true.
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, it's okay. He had two he had two targets, one reception against Cleveland, and then he didn't do anything. Okay. So yes. And then it says 2019, just the Jets. He's had stats. So I don't think he took any snaps for New England. Anyway, Demaryius Thomas, man, like 400 days ago, I was like, yeah, DT's a good player. And now it's just like, he's on the Jets? It's amazing how quickly that happens.
How old is he?
32.
Wow. Boy, that drop-off happened for him fast.
He had
a big injury,
though,
right?
3, 4, 5, 6. He had 6 straight seasons with 16 games started, 16 games played. He was over 1,000 receiving yards in 5 of the 6.
Hmm.
And then, yeah, Denver's quarterback situation fell off a cliff. His yards per reception went down. His targets per game went down. Then there was the trade to Houston, the injuries, and right. then bounce to New England, bounce to the Jets. Like, literally, like, 2 seasons.
The Achilles. That's what it was. Because 2017 went to the Pro Bowl, then the trade happened, then he tore the Achilles. So I can see. Yeah. Okay, yeah. And then he was cut by the Patriots August 31st, 2019. Okay.
That's a wild sequence there. But,
yeah.
Right, so the Jets now are having, they have a bad roster that's also missing significant talent. So there's issues. I mean, with Poole potentially out, it's a big deal. Because now, I mean, you're going to be starting on the outside. Tremaine Johnson, who's really been struggling in...
Yeah.
In his entire Jets tenure, you're going to be starting Daryl Roberts, who's taken 100% of their snaps as the other outside corner. Not very good.
Yeah.
In the slot, Arthur Mollett, Nate Hairston.
I mean, Nate Hairston hasn't even taken some of their outside snaps. So if Poole's out, would you kick Hairston in and put an outside corner? Like, I don't know how well their cornerback depth is equipped to deal with this without shuffling some pieces around.
I mean, they traded like a 6th for Hairston a few weeks ago. You know what I mean? It's like the Eagles starting, you know, a practice squatter like Craig James or something ridiculous that the Eagles would never do.
Yeah, so it's all bad. Yeah, like Alshon Jeffery is going to get Daryl Roberts, which is fun. Like, these are bad matchups for them.
Yeah, you've got Jamal Adams and Marcus May. And so they'll present some issues for Zach Ertz and for Dallas Goedert, which they'll still win because there's Zach Ertz and Dallas Goedert. But this is pretty good safeties. You're going to be able to rotate down in the box, play with the Eagles tight ends. Even without Deshaun returning, I mean, Alshon against Tremaine, Aguilar, Mac Hollins against Daryl Roberts, Nate Hairston is advantage Eagles across the board in terms of the one-on-one passing matchups that you're getting. And then from an outside rush perspective, I just don't know. I mean, Jordan Jenkins out for this upcoming game, most likely.
Yeah.
You have Henry Anderson, who rushes as their big end, who Anderson's like an end playing at like 285. So no speed coming off the edge whatsoever.
Kyle Phillips, Bronson Cafusi.
Right, you have Bronson Cafusi, who's the other big end sort of a guy. Again, this is a 275 sort of player. And then you have Harvey Lange, Frankie Louvu. These are not starters. These are not even, like, Frankie Louvu is not even a situational player on most teams. So you have Terrell Basham, who, dehydration, we assume he's going to play, but this guy was cut by the Colts. Jenkins is probably your best pass rusher, third round pick in 2016, but he's needed to be improved upon since 2016. The Jets are one of the worst pass rushers in the league, and they're going to be beat up.
How are they building this team? They have a terrible offensive
line.
Great
question.
And then they pay a running back $27 million guaranteed over a 4-year contract, knowing that they were worse in the league in adjusted line yards. And then you look at their defensive line, it's all interior guys. That's it. It's Leonard Williams, who's having a down year.
Right.
It's Steve McClendon, who's having a good year, but doesn't matter. You just run away from these guys.
You know who's leading their team in sacks right now?
Is it Jamal Adams?
No.
Oh.
Listen. This is a Greg Williams coordinated defense. Jamal Adams is at closest 15 yards off the ball. Well, technically they put Marcus May up high, but we're just getting jokes off here. It's Neville Hewitt. Who's to Neville Hewitt? They're starting inside linebacker.
Yeah, but who is he?
It's a UDFA from Miami.
Ah.
So, in other words, a player that Miami didn't want.
I mean, if that tells you anything, that
right.
tells
now,
you
he came
everything.
Over in. He came over in 2018, was their backup, and now he's a starter for them. Coming into the season, he had 2.5 career sacks. He has 2 sacks in this season. Congrats to Neville Hewitt, leading the Jets in sacks with 2 over 3 games. Tremendous.
They've gotten solid results, I guess, considering the talent there. Greg Williams is going to try to confuse this pass protection with different looks on the front. I think that's the biggest thing that I'm going to take away from this game. The looks that Greg Williams gives this offense, this offensive line, and Carson Wentz, and how they communicate that pre-snap, how they recognize that pre-snap, how good are they at picking those up, picking up what's going to happen, and checking into the right plays. Because I think from a pre-snap phase, Carson Wentz has been very, very good this year at recognizing things before the snap. He's not Jared Goff. He doesn't have to wait to hear something in his headset. He's actively changing the plays. He's an active part of the pre-snap phase for the Eagles. So I am in that way, just as far as they could have, you know, blank numbers. They could be 0-0 and just move them around like chess pieces and then see how Carson attacks from there, see how the protection deals with them. I think that's the most interesting part of this matchup for me.
Right, because when Todd Bowles was released, which, you know, is increasingly looking like a tremendous decision, and Greg Williams...
That's that nice.
Right, and Adam Gase... I love Todd Bowles. Adam Gase was brought in as the new head coach. With him came Greg Williams, which if you needed a red flag about Adam Gase... With him came Greg Williams. Williams was, okay, so we ran a 3-4 with Bowles, and now we're going to run a 4-3 with Williams. Well, it's never as neat as that, and it's accordingly not as neat on film, because, firstly, the personnel of this team is such that they run a 3-4. Bronson Calfusi and Henry Anderson are big ends. Those are 3-4 ends. Those are four techniques. Those are not guys that you want lining up in two-point stances outside of the tight end. It's not where you're going to win. And then you have players like, you know, they use the rookie Quinton Williams a fair bit, but it's Steve McClendon as interior two-gappers. These are nose tackles. These are 0-1 technique players. Quinton can be a 3, but McClendon's a 1.
Yeah.
Leonard Williams, 2015 first-round pick, hasn't been great for them, but he's been at his most successful 3-4 defensive end. That's where they've aligned him. And he's not a good 3 technique. Not an end either. So now you've got... personnel for a 3-4 front. Siri heard me somehow, but anyway, it is a 3-4 front, and accordingly Williams incorporates two gap responsibilities, which is what you typically see in an odd front, 3 men in the front, 5 men in the front, and he incorporates alignments like the a 4 technique and like a 0 technique, which are typified by odd fronts, the 3-4 alignments. So, you know, the whole like offseason narrative was always Greg Williams is going to come bring a 4-3, and he hasn't really. They've run stuff that's closer to a 4-3 than they ran with Bowles, but go put on any Bowles film of Tampa Bay right now. You know, you're going to see 4 guys in the line of scrimmage.
Right, nickel, yeah.
Yeah. This is not, so, as we know, the lines between 3-4 and 4-3 are very blurred, and the Jets, from a personnel perspective, have guys that make more sense on looks, on fronts, on alignments that are more typified of odd fronts and 3-4 defenses. So yeah. I don't even think Williams has brought a 4-3 defense to the Jets. I don't even think you can say he's done that yet. Now, Greg Williams was hired, and a couple months later, the NFL draft occurred, and then about a month after that, the GM was fired. So I think we can all agree that there wasn't much of an effort from the general manager's office to bring in the players to fit the 4-3 scheme, right? And this is the thing, you know, that we kind of said, what are they doing at the edge position? They haven't been doing anything at the edge position for years.
Yeah.
Mike McKagan was not drafting on the edge.
I mean, why do we think that Joe Douglas was hesitant to take this position and needed so much convincing? Because there is nothing there when you're talking about the building blocks of an offense outside of a quarterback who we still don't know about yet, but it's a high draft pick and I like him. I like Darnold. Offensive line, defensive line, you got nothing going on.
Right. And so you have to imagine, and obviously they went after Anthony Barr this year and they failed the chase and that sucks. But you have to imagine that one of the things that was discussed when Douglas was brought in was we need to be able to transition this front to a 4-3. And so we got to, number one, figure out what we have with Leonard Williams. Number two, see if we have anything that's salvageable on the edge.
Yeah.
And then number three, prepare from a free agency perspective to completely overhaul the defensive line.
Right.
And I think that they can. You know what I mean? From a linebacker perspective, with Hewitt, Mosley, and then fifth-round rookie Blake Cashman, who's been playing good reps in relief of Mosley, obviously out with injury.
I think if you have a high-end guy like Mosley, you can figure it out with other pieces.
I think, that's the thing is, I think you can go Cashman, Sam, Mosley, whatever, Mike, and then Hewitt will be successful.
Mm-hmm.
So there's your three off-ball linebackers. Now you need, you know, because they've been rotating Cashman down the line of scrimmage. If you're going to keep those three guys off-ball, you got to be able to put four guys down and have them penetrate in a one-gapping system that Greg Williams wants to run. They don't have those players. They got Quinnen, good start. They don't have anybody anywhere else. As I don't know if Williams is that. As Williams has been a weird eval at the NFL level. So the Jets are looking at a multiplayer and probably multi-year expensive rebuild on their front four to get the defense looking the way that Greg Williams, of all people, wants it to look. So you're going to like change your personnel approach to fulfill Greg Williams' needs. And how long is Greg Williams even going to be there anyway?
And you didn't even mention cornerback. I mean, just using PFF grades as a baseline, not calling them gospel, but it's pretty bad when the worst graded players on your team, 3 or 4 of them, are your cornerbacks. Tremaine Johnson, Darryl Roberts, this guy named Arthur Mullett. That's
Do they
bad.
Have Poole in as a safety or a corner?
He's a corner. But yeah. Poole is playing the slot for him.
Yeah,
right?
He plays the nickel, right. The Jets have him listed as a safety on the depth chart. I didn't know if PFF was doing it by alignment. Yeah, he's been good. I like Brian Poole.
Yeah, they list him as a cornerback. Yeah.
Yeah, and they should. The whole safety thing is bullocks. It's like, you know, Avonte Maddox was a safety last year. Not really. But Poole's been playing well for them in the slot, and he's out. So that's their one corner guy.
Yeah.
That's the thing is, like, not only do you have a big rebuild looking ahead of you because you haven't been able to draft defense in the past few years, the coach under whom you're rebuilding is Greg Williams. And I don't think Greg Williams and Adam Gase are going to be around in New York for very long. And so now you're obviously talent is talent, but you're going to add players that Greg Williams is looking for. And then my anticipation is by 2021, 2022, Greg Williams is gone.
Yeah.
And now, you know, you might be finding yourself in a similar situation where the defensive coordinator that your head coach wants to bring in is going to want different prototypes at different positions. And this is why you have to have alignment between your head coach and your general manager, which is why it doesn't make sense to hire a head coach, have one general manager run a draft, and then fire that general manager and bring in a new guy. That's dumb.
Yep.
In shocking news. So the Jets defense from a team building perspective is completely in shambles. I think the offense has done some good things. I mean, adding Jamison Crowder helps a young player like Sam Darnold. Crowder is a very consistent underneath target. They tried to revamp that offensive line a great deal. I mean, Kalikio Semele was an add. Ryan Khalil was an add. Alex Lewis was an add. Chuma Doga, third round pick. They cycled in a bunch of new talent.
It takes a while to get that right.
Yeah. And a lot of these guys, there's a reason why they were available. Like, Osemele was big ticket, but everybody else was kind of not. And there's a reason for that. It's because it's not a great talent. But they clearly tried to improve the offensive line. And we know that running backs are friends to rookie quarterbacks. We know that if you are establishing a good running game, and Le'Veon Bell's been a part of a good running game for many, many, many years. Obviously, we know the offensive line is a huge part of that. But young running backs can be big help to quarterback, especially running backs with Le'Veon Bell's receiving profile. Because, again, short game working checkdowns. He's a quarterback's good friend, a talented running back, especially one who can catch. And so I do think that the moves they've attempted to make them. We could have, you know, let's not forget, like, Darnold looked good in week one.
Second half of the season, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, like, and Darnold's one. Had some really nice flashes. Like, there's reason for hope on this offense. Not right now, because Darnold's out with mononucleosis. But with Darnold healthy, I think there is. So there has been some good thought process on building for the offense. The defense has been in shambles for years.
When we come back here on the Kiss and Solak show, I'm going to ask Ben a question, and he has no idea what it is. We'll see how he responds, and we'll get to our predictions right after this.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
And we are back here on the Kiss and Solak Show, episode 128, brought to you by SB Nation, Bleeding Green Nation. Michael Kiss here with Benjamin Solak. Ben, really, the only question I had was any last thoughts on how you think the Eagles offense might attack this? Do you agree with my sentiment that the most interesting thing is how the Eagles respond to the different looks from the Jets, just from a mental perspective?
Right. No, it is. I do think I'm going to make a joke that's half of a take. Maybe Greg has been right this whole time. If you look at 2019 pass attempts and completed passes as opposed to 2018 pass attempts and completed passes, there are heat maps that I saw on Twitter. Teams have been much more successful completing to the deep middle of the field this year than they were in previous years, which is fascinating because that's not anticipated at all. And it's hard to explain.
So where you're going with this is...
Right. Maybe 22 yards off the line of scrimmage, leaving a safety there just in the middle of the field the whole time is actually genius. Because Williams anticipated this offensive evolution.
Did you see what Odell Beckham Jr. did to that?
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing is that the logic behind calls like the inverted Tampa 2 that we've talked about in this podcast is take away that intermediate middle of the field that that concepts are designed to attack because right. they're stressing the deep middle safety and pulling him deep with a seam route or with a go route or whatever. You know, you run Mills, you run Dagger, you run Pin, and you run Yankee. And these are ideas that stretch that deep middle safety who's taught don't let things develop behind you. So pull him downfield and then hit something in front of him for a nice chunk gain. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That still all works against Greg Williams. That's why it's a joke and not a take, because you still can stress that player. It's just his alignment pre-snap makes it so much easier to do things in the middle of the field, because you right. weren't going to be throwing 22 yards down the field within 2 minutes of the within 2 seconds of the snap anyway, because nobody can get down there that fast.
Correct.
So the alignment, when we, and for those who don't know, Greg Williams leaves his deep middle of the field safety deeper than any other defensive coordinator in the entire league, to the point where it's actually quite laughable, because you see screenshots of all 22 film and even broadcast film where you just can't find the player because he's so far deep.
And it's like third and two.
Yeah, right. There's nothing he's defending that's valuable. No area that he's defending is under attack.
He is the reason all 22 was created.
So anyway, I do think that the Eagles, who have been a very heavy outside of the hashes passing team this year, will probably find more success passing to the middle of the field than they have in recent games. Carson Wentz has actually been very right-handed as well. They just run that offense to the right side. I think they're going to be able to do more stuff in the middle. So that's something that interests me from the Eagles' offense perspective. I am curious about, I'll put it to you this way. There was the big phenomenon around the Eagles running the ball. I don't think they run it nearly as much or nearly effectively against the Jets, because the Jets are going to match 12 with base, and they're going to match 11 with nickel. In large parts, they don't have Brian Poole. And so they're just down from a player perspective. They're three... Not three, but because Mosley's out, but their linebackers who they've been starting this year are healthy. Poole is all of a sudden out. And so I think that they're going to have an opportunity to match 12 with base. And they have two safeties that they really like who they think can cover Ertz and Goddard in base. So I think it's going to be a passing game out of 12 instead of a running game out of 12, which is kind of the seesaw that exists for the Eagles offense that, you know, if you just watch the Packers game, you may not know, but that's kind of how I expect them to attack the Jets defense. Besides that, it'd be nice to see Alshon healthy.
Have a good game against bad competition there at cornerback, yeah. Playing up against him. Who did we say it was going to be? Daryl Roberts?
Or Tremaine Johnson, who, like, obviously you know Tremaine Johnson's name, but he's, like, not playing that much better than Daryl Roberts, so.
Maybe this is a big Alshon game. We'll see about that. Ben, let's go to the DraftKings Sportsbook odds and predictions and the things.
Wow, what a voice. Such a sponsored voice.
Can you tell my sponsored voice from my regular voice? So the line, and we're recording this on a Friday morning, the line is 13.5 for the Eagles. The over-under is 44. What the heck did we say that score was, Ben?
15-29.
Do the Eagles score over 29 points or under? You taking the over? We took the under for the Jets at 15 points. I'll qualify that.
Now,
do you take the over on 29 for the Eagles?
Which is a very aggressive thing to do, which I'm going to do, because I do believe that there's going to be a concerted effort to put points on early, strong first quarter. I think that if we have an aggressive head coach who, if the, you know, the Eagles have a multi-score lead, is going to continue to try to build on that multi-score lead. The Eagles haven't blown a team out in quite some time.
Yeah.
I think they'd like to.
I'm going 34-6. What about you?
34-6. Wow. That's a lot less than 15 for the Jets. I was thinking more like, you know, 31-13. Nice palindromic score.
I thought you were going to say like 33-7.
No. I'll do 31-13. I'll give the Jets a couple field goal at the end. I'll give, you know, Luke Falk a nice, you know, 7-play, 48-yard drive that ends in couple a 46-yard attempt.
Yeah, a couple comeback routes, deep outs to Robbie Anderson. Nice. Yeah, I feel you. You're pushing the over-under, you coward. Would you go over or under? If, like, regardless of your score.
Oh, pressure, yeah, I hit 44 right on.
Yeah, have a take. I'm going under.
Probably, I mean, under,
like you said, the Eagles are going to put points up quick.
Right, yeah. Under makes sense to me there, which under for 44 total is a bit bold when you have an offense like the Eagles involved, but I just think the Jets are that bad.
Long drives to end the game, heavy running game, whether it's working or not at the end, who cares? Let's just take it home.
Got to establish.
Got to establish the run like the Seattle Seahawks. By the way, we talked about that Seattle-Los Angeles game from Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
You know Brian Schottenheimer's magic number theory?
37 or 26, whatever the heck it is.
Well, that's like the balance. 53 runs plus completions is a win. They hit 56. The analytics are bumping in Seattle. Absolutely. You cannot deny them.
The thing about analytics is that it relies on buckets or are rounded by arbitrary numbers. And so this is clearly is the trend we need to key in on.
Ben, say goodbye to the gentle listeners. I think that's going to do it for this half-hearted, admittedly, recap. If you're just now listening to the Kiss and Soli show for the first time, this is typically not how our recap shows go.
Well, this is not a recap show. It's a preview show, so there's that.
This is not how our preview shows go, but this is also the Jets.
Well, if you want to know more about what Greg Williams is trying to do from a defensive scheme perspective, feel free to hit me up on Twitter.
Yeah.
You don't want to, but if you do. No, it's a bad football team, and the Jets come into town on Sunday, and that's okay. The Eagles could go for a game against a bad football team, especially considering the slate that they are looking at week 6 through week 10 and 11 of the season as the Eagles get into their bye week. Obviously an important stretch, as all stretches are important for the football teams, 16 games, and we start to think about the NFC East and about the playoffs. If you enjoyed the show, please go ahead, rate, review, and subscribe on whatever app you listen to your podcasts. If you do have any questions, of course, I am on Twitter at Benjamin Solak. That's S-O-L-A-K. He's on Twitter at Michael Kist NFL. That's K-I-S-T. Babes on Broad, BGN Radio main show. Previews for the Eagles Jets, preparing you for this weekend of what should be thrilling Philadelphia football. Thank you so much for listening. We will catch you later next week.
We all we got, we all we need. Fly, Eagles, fly.
Adam Gase quote here. Sam Darnold was tested last night. His spleen, quote, is not where it needs to be, end quote. But this goes back to what I was saying in the previous show, right? Where it's like, we're like
in
acting like this is like a regular football thing. Like, oh yeah, right. His calf's not where it's supposed to be yet. Yeah, no, we just don't think his shoulder's where it's supposed to be yet. His spleen is not where it's supposed to be yet. He's sick!
Is it in his butt? Like, I don't, where is it?
He's sick. He's sick, and he shouldn't play football.
BGN.
More to-dos, less time, and an infinite number of tools to keep track of. Sometimes doing business has never felt harder, but you don't need a miracle to hit your goals. You can just use HubSpot, because their all-in-one customer platform can make growing your business infinitely easier. Imagine this: high-quality leads, fast closing deals, wildly happy customers, and more benchmark-breaking quarters. It's not a miracle. It's HubSpot. Visit HubSpot.com to get started today.
From data privacy to the future of TV, retail media, and beyond, the world of digital marketing is constantly in flux. So how can you keep up? Well, The Current Report is there for you. Each week, marketing leaders on the cutting edge give you the latest insight. So if it's creating a buzz, they'll be talking about it. Subscribe to The Current Report wherever you get your podcasts.